Hello and welcome to Fight Die Caracast. I'm your host, Orlando. Today we're going to speak about migraines, anxiety, tension, headaches, and can chiropractic care be your new ally? We have our co-host, Jonathan, and today we have Dr. Sean Carter. Welcome.
Thank you. It's good to see you guys again.
Same here. Hello, Jonah. So headaches and anxiety for chiropractic care. The big city, New York, everybody has something going on right nowadays with all this situations. Indeed. That's right. So what do you think about this topic, Dr. Carter?
I love this topic. I mean, it's unfortunate that so many people suffer from anxiety and headaches. And it's part of life in New York City because it's such a difficult place to live. It's a very stressful place to live. It's great to live here, but there's so much going on all the time that people suffer with a lot of tension and headaches, and it's difficult. However, the good news is that chiropractic care can help manage those things really well. Chiropractic care is a holistic treatment for these issues, and there are no side effects as you have with medicine and surgery. It's very natural. What we do is we combine massage therapy and chiropractic. We have acupuncture in our office as well. We have physical therapy. We have pain management doc that comes in to treat the more complicated muscular and facet and joint issues. The holistic approach that we use here really helps people cope with anxiety. The techniques that I use in particular, I spend a lot of time working around the suboccipital muscles right between the cranium and the upper cervical spine. Those muscles are under a lot of strain because people are constantly in a flexed position. And so those muscles are working really hard to try to keep the head and neck, you know, in a good place. And so what happens over time is people that work a sedentary job, which is most of our clientele, they're sitting at the computer, their head is forward. Over time, as the hours go by, their shoulders roll forward, their right hand or their left hand is using the mouse and typing on the keyboard. And the body isn't designed to function in this manner. So what happens is over time, the neck starts to go forward. So if I turn sideways, you see this in people who call that forward head translation, and the shoulders roll forward. And that leads to shoulder issues and nerve issues in your neck. So what we do as chiropractors is we try to bring those structures back by, you know, first of all, adjusting the spine and shoulders, and strengthening those muscles in the back, bring the scapula back and bring the head back. You're doing chin tucks to get the head into the normal position because you want the ear to be aligned over the shoulder, to be aligned over the hip. And so when you're in plumb, you have fewer issues. When your head is forward, it leads to headaches, it leads to neck pain. A good percentage of our patients, I'd say a third of our patients suffer from headaches. And the reason is because they have tension in these muscles in the upper cervical spine, the suboccipitals in particular, but you can also have them in the sternocleidomastoid muscle, which are the muscles that come down the side and attach to the sternum and the clavicle. Oftentimes you press on those muscles and it refers pain up to the head. So we as chiropractors, when we can reproduce pain patterns in a patient, so if they report that they have headaches, and we press on a particular muscle and say, does that refer pain to your head? And it reproduces the pain pattern. We know that we're on the right track. So we're treating tension headaches primarily, which can lead or trigger migraine headaches as well. So a lot of people come in and they report migraine headaches. We do an exam and we try to reproduce the pain and say, well, this is a tension headache. And oftentimes the patient will tell me, yeah, I get those too, but then once that starts, it leads to a migraine. So I know that if we can prevent the tension headache from occurring, or at least reduce it in intensity and frequency, then they're going to have less intense migraines or less frequent migraines because it won't be triggered.
I mean, for someone that, well, because usually, I mean, nowadays, right, you're driving, right, you're sitting, you're in the computer, I mean, stress, these are all, right, common red flags in people that have tension and migraines. So if you have a tension headache, you come into your office and and you get treated before this becoming, you know, something like an actual, I guess, migraine that can occur on a, yeah. On a daily basis.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Yeah, I mean, people are traveling long distances to commute into the city. Nowadays, many companies are only requiring their employees to come in maybe 3 or 4 days a week. And that helps relieve the commute to some extent. But then they're working at home in a non-ergonomic space. Maybe they're working on their couch, or they're sitting at the, you know, kitchen table or dining room table and working in a less than optimal situation. And that leads to different problems. And they're also working longer hours, as we've discussed earlier.
That's correct.
You know, they may log on at 7 a.m. or 7:30 a.m. and work until 9, 10 p.m. You know, on and off, they may be able to squeeze a few chores in between, but they're still working those long hours, especially in corporate America. You know, people are working. They tell me, I have some patients that tell me that they feel like they're working for minimum wage because they make a decent salary. But when they divide it by the number of hours they actually put into work, they figure it out. It's like $15 to $20 an hour. So they know that the company is getting their money's worth out of these employees. But that's stress, just to emphasize, that stress is leading directly to muscle tension and anxiety. You know, a lot of people have anxiety today that, you know, they've always had anxiety, but the levels seem to be increasing exponentially, because I see patients that are young people in their late 20s, early 30s, and they're having increased levels of anxiety. They're taking medications. When I do a history, an intake with a patient, I always ask about their medical history, whether they've had any surgeries, whether they've had any, are they taking any medications? And a large percentage of my young people are taking anti-anxiety medications. So chiropractic is very helpful in mitigating those that anxiety and tension in the neck and the muscles. And that reduces their overall anxiety.
So I'm glad that you mentioned the New York City lifestyle, right? And I was doing some research, and I did find this article by NY Health Foundation, and it mentioned that more than 3 in 10 people in New York City live with anxiety, right? Currently, that's the research that was done in, as of March of 2023. So it apparently peaked during the pandemic, right? But these are sort of things that, you know, the pandemic, we know about 9/11, these like unpredictable things that happen in New York City, unfortunately. But it is, like you mentioned, these things are not usually getting better. Like, those percentages continue to be high.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, look, they're young people taking so much medication. I mean, I haven't personally taken any anxiety medication, but I've seen a lot of people around me. Because of bringing their work home, right? Because after post-pandemic, I mean, you know, we're seeing a lot of people working some days at the office, some days at home, but you really don't just put a stop to work when you're at home. And I feel like bringing home work to the house kind of messes up the relationship you should be having at home, right? The quiet
the boundaries.
Days.
Yeah, the boundaries are crossed, yeah. Exactly. Absolutely.
And it's so hard to just manage that, right? So
yeah,
I've seen a lot of anxiety and a lot of red flags on that end.
I actually heard a great interview the other day on Bloomberg. They were talking about Adderall and the effects of Adderall on people. Adderall is like is intended for people with ADHD, but a very large segment of our population has been taking that even since high school and college, especially in high-functioning people that are they're striving, they're ambitious, they want to do well on exams, they want to have the best grades, they want to get into the best schools, right? They want to do well on their, you know, the SATs and things like that. And so young kids are taking Adderall, and the parents are letting them or bringing them to doctors and saying, you know, whatever they're saying, they're being prescribed Adderall at a very high rate. And so we know a lot of people that are on it, and we wouldn't know that they were on it, but they're taking it just to function. That actually leads to increased cortisol levels in the body, and it also increases the level of anxiety, because these, you know, if you take that in a chronic manner, just like any medication that you take in a chronic on a regular basis, it has side effects, and one of the side effects of Adderall is anxiety.
Yeah, it's like you're it's making you perform better at a faster pace, and it's helping people that have ADHD obviously focus more. When I was in college, I mean, you see it everywhere, right? But at what cost, right? Because they later on, when it crashes, I mean, you suffer the consequences. It's just
absolutely
where you're out of it. You know,
I didn't have Adderall at the time that I was in college, but there were other products that were circulating around. Not that I knew anything about that stuff.
There's always something, right? Yeah.
No, you mentioned college, Orlando, but it's interesting because I've worked with like car dealerships. And, you know, again, high performance, right? That pressure, you're having to meet quotas. And I saw these things going around too. And it's interesting because you wouldn't think that these people are high performers, right? But they're also obviously, unfortunately, having to continuously come back to these because of, I don't know, what it possibly could be like just general education. What are your thoughts on that, Doctor? Like,
what's the question with general
education? Like general education about like what the side effects of this could be of using it like routinely, right? Like these sort of things like Adderall, that is more common now.
I think the more and more that doctors prescribe them, the more and more they normalize them.
That's right.
So, you know, you're in a situation, it's a self-fulfilling prophecy where, you know, children are looking to perform better. You know, sometimes parents at their parents' behest, and or they're just really driven and they realize that they can perform much better, or at least they think they're performing better on, you know, on the medication. So, you know, they just keep taking it. And if they do perform better and they're getting good grades, they'll continue to take it because it's a reinforcement model. And, they don't think about when you're young, when you're 15, 16, 17 years old or 20 years old, even you're not really thinking about the long-term consequences of taking medications. All you care about is it helping me today? Is it helping me achieve my goals? Right. And so, you know, you have to be long thinking in terms as a medical professional or as a healthcare professional, what is going to be the long-term effect of prescribing this medicine to young people? You have to warn them about the side effects. They may disregard those side effects because when you're young, you're invincible, right? But, you know, as a medical professional or, healthcare professional, you have to let people know what the downside is, right? It's like, I mean, there are a lot of drugs that you can use as an example here. A lot of people are losing weight very, very easily with Ozempic and things like that. Now, I'm not supposed to comment on medicine because I'm not a medical doctor, but it's clear to me that people are using it at a very high rate. It's been reported in the media, and we don't know what the long-term effects of that's going to be. It's certainly effective at you know, lowering their numbers in cholesterol and triglycerides because they're eating less and what have you. But that food that you're processing, the motility of the gut is slowed down with these medications, right? And so that food is in your body longer, right? So what's happening with that food? How is it breaking down? What are you producing toxins, you know, while that food is in your system for a longer period of time? What is the effect on the body long-term? So, you know, and people come off of it and they gain the weight back. So that's an issue also. So every medication has its benefits and its risks. And I think that we have to go we have to be very cautious about how society is consuming these things. And America in particular, we consume a lot more pharmaceuticals than any other place in the world. So, you know,
very accessible.
Chiropractic is a great alternative for people that are looking for something different.
I totally agree. I feel like, you know, when you put in a balance, I feel like it's just a matter of education and wanting to find out better holistic ways of treating your body, right? Better approaches.
Absolutely.
And now that we're talking, you know, psychological issues, I mean, just with Adderall itself, you don't only have physical effects, you also have psychological effects and 100%. Gastrointestinal effects. I mean, it's like you have to really see what approaches are out there to better perform. And this goes out there for everybody that, you know, working long hours, wrong periods of time, that are in the computer all the time, are sitting down, working from home. you have to really, you know, do your research about your body, about the long term and the approaches that are out there. And I wanted to ask you, doctor, in regards to these holistic approaches, dry needling. I've heard of dry needling. Is this something you treat? Is this something that you do at your practice?
Well, we have a pain management doctor that comes in, and he does trigger point injections. He'll use lidocaine, which is just a local anesthetic that dentists use in the oral cavity. And he'll trigger the muscles, and you'll get a pulse, you'll get a quick twitch response in the muscle that will indicate that the muscle has released, because these trigger points, they bulk up like this, and the muscle fibers won't release until you start triggering them and they start or massaging them. I mean, you could do myofascial release also. But the effect is much quicker when you use a needle. You could use dry needling also. I mean, some acupuncturists use that as well. We have an acupuncturist here that has used that technique as well. And it's quite effective, especially if they know where to look and you know how to approach it. So it's like they put a dry needle in, and it's the effect of the needle hitting the muscle fibers that releases it, whether there's a medication or not. The medication, a lidocaine, is just a numbing agent, and that allows us, after the needling has been done, to then do a little more manipulation in the muscle to break up the fibers and to break up the adhesions between the fibers. But one other point I just want to go back to for a moment, Orlando.
Yeah.
I forgot to mention, with Adderall and anxiety in general, when your circadian rhythm is thrown off, and you're not going to get the proper sleep that you need, right? And so sleep is a very, very underrated and essential part of health. If you don't get proper sleep and you're not following a normal circadian rhythm, it's going to throw the balance off. And I think it leads to anxiety and increased cortisol levels, because that's what cortisol does. It creates anxiety in people. And if you take an Adderall, it definitely throws off your circadian rhythm. So it's a very unhealthy cycle.
Definitely. I mean, how long are you staying up? At what time are you going to bed, right? How many hours are you working and putting your body into so much stress in your brain? Regarding these approaches, because I mentioned dry needling because I was looking at some approaches into how to chiropractic care to treat the tension headaches and migraine and anxiety. I saw acupuncture as well. And I saw active release techniques, right? We spoke about active release techniques on our last episode. And and I saw that was one of the, you know, good holistic approaches of this effects.
Yeah. Was that a question?
Yeah. No, I was going to mention and then this is for the adjustments of the neck, right? The adjustments of the neck. You guys adjust.
Yes.
Perfect. Well, I wanted to ask you something. Go ahead.
Do you want me to elaborate on the adjustment?
Yeah, if you can elaborate there, and then I'll ask you another question. Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. So I think I briefly talked about, you know, breaking up tension in the cervical muscles, in the suboccipital muscles, in some of the sternocleidomastoid muscles, and the anterior and posterior scalene muscles are also very prone to having trigger points in them that cause headaches and migraines, that lead to migraines. But after I do the muscle manipulation, that's when I do the manual manipulation, the vertebral manipulation of the spine, because these muscles are holding the vertebrae in a restricted manner if the muscles are very tight. And so breaking up the tension in the muscles and breaking up the restrictions in the vertebrae is very helpful, because there's a lot of neuronal input. So there's a lot of proprioceptive and all types of nerve endings inside the joint surfaces of the facets. And they interconnect with the central nervous system. Even in the jaw, people that have TMJ, there's a relationship between upper cervical spine and TMJ. So if you don't adjust the spine in addition to doing the muscle manipulation, you won't get as good a result.
I wanted to bring back to I guess the anxiety part, because I wouldn't say I have been like medically diagnosed, because I haven't seen perhaps like a specific psychologist, right? Or like a medical doctor for this. But I've definitely experienced the symptoms in multiple occasions. And it makes a lot of sense to what you've been discussing, doctor. Sometimes, you know, and Orlando also said it, sometimes it's like just also like kind of doing your own research, right? Like looking things up and obviously not believing everything that's online, because not everything is accurate. But starting to see patterns, right? And starting to adopt certain things that can help you. You know, staying active is one of those things that you mentioned, the mobility, right? Our body needs to obviously move, because our mind, I've noticed that when I'm usually like anxious or I experience some anxiety, maybe not to the point of like having a panic attack, but it's usually because I'm like, my mind is like somewhere else. It's like, I'm at the moment where I found out I had anxiety, or somebody, one of my family members told me like, look, you have anxiety. This is why you can't sleep. This is why you're feeling this. This is very common. So they kind of educated me on, right? And it was because my mind, everything I was thinking about, I was in New York. My mind was in New York and my physical body was in South Florida while I was having I think it was my niece's baptism. Okay. And I was in a family environment, but I was not present. My mind was completely like somewhere else, right? And I was not able to experience the baptism, like, as you know, everybody would have thought, like, oh, you know, where's that happy Jonah? Where's his smile? What's going on? Mm-hmm. It was all here in my head, right? Yeah. So these are the things, like, I guess you can also perhaps elaborate. You've had experiences while living in New York about, you know, these patterns that you see when somebody comes in with this tension headaches or that anxiety, and the common problems that people are experiencing in New York, perhaps.
Yeah, you mentioned the word present, you know, being present. And I think that a lot of people are not present in the moment. And especially when you're at a happy occasion, you try to clear all of that stuff in your mind and just experience the joy, because that's a very important part of life. You have to have joy in your life, right? Our mind is always, or often, more often than it should be, perhaps at work. You know, people in New York City are striving to be successful, very competitive place, and they put a lot of time and effort and energy into being successful, and, you know, because that's what it takes to be successful in New York. But you have to be able to turn it off. I've always been able, I've had this uncanny ability to do that. I can turn things off pretty quickly once I leave work. But there are times when I find, especially lately, and we were talking earlier about the lasting effects of the pandemic, you know, it created so much stress for so many people, and me as well, where, you know, I thought, you know, the having practices in Manhattan would be impervious to any kind of ups and downs in the market or anything, you know, geopolitical. But that's not true. Obviously, we talked about 9/11 was a major, had a major impact on the world, never mind New York City, which was ground zero. And it had a psychological effect on us. And New Yorkers in particular are sitting, you know, thinking of themselves as targets, right? New York City is the main place. Every time they talk about, or you see a movie, New York City is the place, or LA, or one of these major metropolitan centers. It took literally 2.5 years for things to kind of normalize in New York City for me as a chiropractor, because I have a practice that relies heavily on foot traffic in a building that has supposedly 10,000 people in the building every, you know, Monday through Friday. Well, they haven't had that capacity since the pandemic. And, you know, we're approaching, you know, maybe 50 to 60% of that. And people are only here really, you know, Monday through Thursday. I think Fridays are pretty quiet, so we don't even open the office on Fridays anymore. But so our capacity is still only 60% of what it used to be. And, you know, the kind of pressure that it puts on small businesses is incredible, right? So many small businesses that are middle-class people working out, eking out a living, and, you know, they put their lifeblood and sweat and energy into building a business in New York that relies on people, you know, that are walking and traveling to New York City and on a daily basis, and they've never recovered. Many of them have gone out of business. As you see, retail businesses that are closing down, restaurants, obviously. I think of the local, like the shoeshine business, you know, the shoes, right? They're relying on people coming in and shining their shoes. People don't even wear shoes anymore. They wear sneakers. They're not wearing suits anymore. So people aren't buying clothes. You know, they're not buying suits. They're not buying slacks. They're wearing, you know, very casual clothing. So it's benefiting some companies and it's hurting other industries. The point of it is that it creates a lot of anxiety and it changes your circadian rhythm. You can't sleep. You can't think straight. And so to your point, you got to try to be present. You know, you have to appreciate what you have in life, right? You have to, you know, seize the moment. Carpe diem. It's important to do that. It's important to think about that because you can spend a lot of negative energy on thinking about the things that could have been and the things that should have been, but it's not going to change anything. So you just got to keep forging on and being positive and trying to figure out an alternative, adapting to, you know, the new normal, because that's what we have here. We have a new normal, like it or not.
That's right. That's right. It's like a reset, right, of everything.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And it's drawn a toll on a lot of people, mostly small businesses, like you mentioned. I feel like they're holding all this weight in their neck, right? They're holding it right here.
That's why we're here. You know, the one thing, and I've said this to you before, AI is never going to be able to replace a chiropractor. So
that's right.
You know, bring it on.
You know, I was, you know, lately, obviously, I'm not sure if it's something to do with age, which I believe, and I've also gotten more involved in a lot of other things, including audiovisual, like I'm doing videos, I'm hosting podcasts, and like, I've experienced anxiety, right? It was something I've never experienced, and I was, you know, talking to my partner about it, and I mentioned, I was like, I said, something to do with my age, you know, now I'm 33, but you know, it is a red flag for me, right? Cause, I've usually always been very, you know, proactive. I'm always doing stuff, but, you know, it's caught me off guard, right? I'm like, wow, yeah. Feeling this pressure in my chest. And I'm like, holy crap, I have to step out, right? Catch some air, change my scenery. But it is happening to young people. And I feel like the pandemic was that event that changed everything for me, because a lot of things went on a good note, but it brought a lot of other things psychologically and physically, like anxiety. And, you know, obviously in New York, being a big city, I live in Miami. I actually live in the suburbs. I don't even live in Miami. I don't even live like in the financial district, which is Brickell. I live in the outskirts, motor suburbs. So I see, you know, more green and I get to walk around, but it's still, you know, I feel like life is a little bit more hectic nowadays, working from home and doing all these type of things. And
yeah.
And I'm out here controlling my screen time. I feel like that also causes so much anxiety,
oh,
right?
My God, computer. Yeah. Oh my God. That is one thing that probably more significant than anything else. Even Adderall and things like that. I mean, the screen time. I mean, I find myself falling into the trap sometimes, and I just shut the phone off and I put it away because I don't want to fall into the trap, but it is addictive. And, you know, the things that you like to look at, the things that you like to watch, the videos, they know what you like to watch and they feed you. It's like they feed you what you want, right? So it's, again, it's a cycle that's hard to break, and you just have to be aware of it and say, I'm not signing up for this. We learned a lot of lessons from the pandemic, I think, you know, some good, some bad, you know. I think that the governments the local governments all acted in a different way because we're in 50 different states. We've got different climates. We've got different politics in different states. And so every state reacted a little differently, and some were more draconian, some were less draconian. Some kept the economies open more, some closed the economies more. And I feel like New York just shut it down because we got hit so hard so early, and there were so many deaths because it was unexpected.
That's right.
But then once we started to get a handle of, okay, you know, maybe being inside isn't the best thing all the time. Maybe you should be out in the fresh air, at a park, at a beach, at a this, at a that, you know, keep your distance from people. But, you know, outdoors, sunlight, fresh air, wind, it takes the virus away. So, you know, the more you huddle inside, the more you're going to spread it. And, you know, the more you're outside and out and about, the better it is for you. So, I mean, you know, it's just so much to dissect. And we didn't know enough about it early on. But, you know, at a certain point, you had to be like, okay, we've got to establish this isn't true, right? I mean, we were washing vegetables and boxes. My wife was cleaning boxes, like she's wiping boxes down when they came into the apartment, you know?
That's right.
Wiping boxes down, really? You know? Because they were telling us that the surfaces, the virus was on the surface, but it's not on the surface, doesn't survive on the surface. It was airborne, it was in
air.
Mm-hmm. It was in the aerosol, you know, the droplets. So
it's interesting that I guess I had never been in an event in my life. In an event in my life that affects so many people worldwide, mm-hmm. but being like the prime center, because I was living in New Rochelle where they closed down that whole like 1 mile radius. It was a couple blocks from where I was living. I was living in New Rochelle when that happened.
At the very beginning,
when they closed down, you know, but I. One of the advantages that I had, I guess, you know, they were telling you not to go out and stuff, but Bear Mountain was nearby, right? Mm-hmm. And it was getting closer to springtime. So around April, May, I was like, no, okay, I need to go to Bear Mountain. I need to get a fresh, you know, some fresh air. And Bear Mountain, there was nobody there because, you know, everything was closed down. And there was there's a lot of parks nearby. Near the water, and that's really what actually helped my mental health at that time. At that time I was doing, you know, the digital marketing, everything that we do now, but I was also coaching soccer for some kids. Mm-hmm. And it was very interesting because, you know, like you mentioned, you know, keeping your body moving. The club that I was working at, it was so interesting because they adopted Zoom meetings right away. As soon as the pandemic happened, they, mm-hmm. they adopted Zoom meetings, and we were doing Zoom sessions with the kids, like on camera, which was very interesting. I don't know how, you know, that affected all the children, but I'm pretty sure those little moments that they actually got the activity of moving around with the ball, or doing sit-ups or whatever we were doing with them.
I mean,
whatever we
could do at the gyms. They closed the gyms. I understand that, you know, you don't want people too close together. Maybe they could have staggered people, but they closed the gyms. Like the most important thing was to keep yourself healthy, to keep your immune system strong, right? So working out, exercising, you couldn't exercise. People were running around Manhattan with a mask on. I mean, it was laughable. It was laughable. Yeah. Like I looked at people like running with a mask on, like who's going to share, you know, aerosol with you while you're running out in Central Park or something, you know, or
there's people driving with masks on.
Oh my God. Yeah. And they're alone in their car, but I'll never forget the guy that was paddle boarding in California.
With a mask. Oh God.
No, not with a mask. No, he was just out in the ocean paddleboarding, and they arrested him because he was paddleboarding. He's out in the ocean. Who's he infecting?
Yeah.
Who's infecting him? I don't know. It was crazy. But
it was weird thing, man.
A lot of control, right? During those times, they wanted to keep everybody in, and I feel
they
like
wanted, that, yeah.
I feel like you learned through it, right? Because we learned how to. I guess it helped in having more hygiene, right? That's for sure. A lot of people were just it helped.
Oh,
in that
absolutely, end. Yeah,
and,
absolutely.
And you also just being more aware about what how to boost your immune system, because a lot of people were just, you know, they didn't know what
vitamin D3,
that's right,
vitamin K1 and vitamin C and zinc were very helpful, you know, for a lot of people.
People don't even know what ginger does. I mean, like, you know, then I see a bunch of videos of people just drinking tea and doing turmeric and ginger and all this. And I feel like a lot of people got aware of, you know, their health and how to boost your immune system and how to be out there in the outdoors. We actually passed by it, right, Jonathan? We passed by the mile that they closed down in New York. We were passing by it. He was telling me that he used to just go up to the mountain and just walk around and just get some fresh air during that time. Yeah, it was vital.
That's good. Take your shoes off, walk in the grass.
You know? Some grounding.
That's right.
So,
that's awesome.
So we're talking about these things that happen. Now, doctor, what are some recommendations that you do to combine, obviously, with the chiropractic treatments that people can get as an alternative? Recommendations that people could be doing at home or at work, right? Like, I work from home, but I still need to go to the co-working from time to time.
Yeah, Orlando's doing it right now. He's stretching his shoulders.
You know,
keep moving. I mean, don't be a couch potato, you know.
That's right.
You got to keep moving. A lot of times I'll watch something, I'll lay down on the carpet and just start doing some ab work or doing some push-ups or doing whatever I can just to contract some muscles, get some blood flowing. It's really important. Like, I work it late at night doing documentation because nobody bothers me at that time. And then I'll get up and I'll stretch. I have the gym in the back. I'll start working with some bands and just get some fluid. You got to keep the muscles wet. You got to keep the blood flowing through your system. That cleans up all the toxicity in your body, and it also brings fresh oxygenates the tissues so that, you know, you don't atrophy, and you know, you're constantly, the movement is life. I mean, if you stop moving, it's not going to go well. If I sit too long, my legs start swelling up, which never happened to me before, but I'm sitting long hours. So I get up periodically, you know, multiple times an evening, and I'll do some, you know, toe raises, and I have some, you know, stretching mechanisms or techniques in my office that I use just to keep things nice and loose, you know. Chin tucks are very important for the people that are sedentary. You know, like a chin tuck, you just sit up and you put your finger on your chin and go straight back, right? And if you're looking at yourself in the phone or in the mirror and you see that you're getting a double chin, you're doing it properly, because you don't want to bring your head up, you don't want to bring it down, you bring it straight back. Hold it for a couple of seconds and come forward. Hold it.
So a double chin is healthy then?
Double chin is not a healthy thing, but it doesn't look great, but it definitely indicates that you're doing it the proper way.
That's the posture. Okay, that's the, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, you have this, what they call text neck nowadays, right? Like, text everybody's neck, just, yeah. It's crazy. Yeah. Everybody's like.
They they're holding it with one hand, so the head is down at an angle, or like this angle, either to the left or to the right. And so you're creating imbalance in your neck muscles.
You know, actually doing it, I feel tension. It hurts.
Yeah, you
can
feel
tell.
It.
Yeah,
definitely. And the other thing is squeeze your scapula. You know, just bring your shoulders back and bring your neck back at the same time. Do the chin tuck at the same time. And you'll feel all the, and you're stretching the pecs at the same time. So you're contracting the scapular muscles and the rhomboids and the traps, and you're stretching the pecs. So you're accomplishing two things at the same time. And if you do that often enough, you'll have a beneficial effect.
There you go. All the desk warriors out there that are listening to the podcast, they better
and
be
you were
get
talking,
to it.
You were also talking about cracking your neck, but I think it's better to just, like, if you're sitting down, put your hand on the side of the chair and lean away from it and just let it stretch naturally. And then you can turn your head and bring your chin toward your, you know, your axilla or your armpit.
Okay.
And let all the muscles just relax and open up. And then you'll start to feel it release. You'll feel little clicks over time, especially as you're aging, you know, because you get a little degeneration in the disc. So just stay there for 20 or 30 seconds and do that kind of thing. You can get a towel or a strap where you put your arm behind your back and just, you know,
hold it.
You pull the towel over your shoulder and hold on to it with that arm behind your back. And that's a really good shoulder stretch for the infraspinatus and you know, the rotator cuff muscles. really, really helpful.
That's key stuff, man. That's key stuff, because I feel like, I don't know what the percentage is, but I could tell you, I don't think 1 out of 10 people take 15 minutes to do this every 8 hours. That's for sure. So I
don't think so. I think you're right. I think you're right.
It is very important to, take advantage of these home practices.
And get those bands, the TheraBands, and they have the circular ones. The circular ones, you just start doing some shoulder stuff like this. It's very challenging, actually.
I have a question. Go for it. So Dr. Carter, you've been a firefighter. You've told us a little bit about your story. You've been in Manhattan over multiple occasions where, it shook not just the earthquake that just happened, but it shook the whole city, right? Or the whole state, even the whole country. So how can that also make you more empathetic or make you a better doctor when it comes to treating patients when they're coming with that hypertension on their neck or the tension headaches or that anxiety? Like, how much of that, those experiences also make you more prone to empathizing with your patient?
I think New Yorkers are pretty battle tested at this point. We've had, crazy things happen in the last couple of decades. I mean, between 9/11, which was a tremendous tragedy to the world, but also, people really realized that New Yorkers really came together during that time. And I was very impressed with New York at the time, because New York isn't known to be a very empathetic place or a very tight place. People were talking to each other, people were giving thanks, and they were just very grateful for all of the fire department, police department, the services in the city really came together and helped the population. They just came together, and there was a feeling like I've never felt in New York, and I grew up in New York. But we had the financial crisis in 2008, and then we had Hurricane Sandy in 2012, and these things just beats you up after a while. You don't know what to expect, and then of course the pandemic in 2020. So it seems like every 5 to 10 years is something really significant, and New York City is like ground zero. It's like a magnet for these occurrences, or whatever happens seems to be intensified in New York. So we're battle tested in a sense. It's like soldiers, the warriors that are constantly at war. You're ready for anything. You kind of like handle things with a little more grace, I think, and just you adapt to the situation. So when people come in and they're suffering from anxiety, you recognize it, you see it, and you just try to, be as understanding as you can and explain to them that you're not the only person that's experiencing this. It's quite common, actually. But we have ways to help you. We have ways to mitigate the situation and help you, get through it. So that's what I would say.
That's amazing.
That is amazing. I mean, you lived it all, right? You lived it all out there in New York.
Yeah.
The big city, so much pressure, so much anxiety, so much things going on. And I feel like, only someone that has lived it all can also understand and give this energy of bettering patients, right? Through them. Mm-hmm. So, I was going to ask you, Dr. Carter, how quickly do patients typically see improvement? Like, let's say in anxiety, they come in to get a treatment for anxiety or some, tension headaches and migraines through chiropractic care. How quick?
It's pretty effective. It's pretty quick. I mean, it does require, frequent visitations, at least once a week or something to make it really, improve consistently. If you want consistency, and then at some point you realize that these things have dissipated and it doesn't require as much active treatment. But people that come in that have headaches will do anything to get rid of them, you know, because they can be very debilitating.
Oh, yes.
And so they're motivated to come in on a regular basis, and then they see the progress that they make, and they're able to, you know, they're able to justify why they're doing what they're doing, because nobody wants to continually come into an office and get treated for a specific issue. But when they see the quality of life improve, and not only the headaches themselves, but just the freedom of movement and the less stress and the less anxiety, you know, we talk about the adjustment providing these lowering the increasing hormones, like, you know, endorphins and enkephalins, and cortisol levels improve, and people just feel a better sense of a sense of wellness, you know. And so people say, why do you have to go to a chiropractor if, you know, once you start going, you have to continue going? And I say, you don't have to, but if you really like feeling good, it's a good idea.
That's correct. I totally agree. And this, you know, goes out for everybody in the big city, right? New York City, with all the high anxiety and pressure jobs in the medical, financial, tech industry, to, you know, really have chiropractic as your ally for headaches and anxiety.
Anxiety, headaches, migraines.
Tension headaches. Right. Tension headaches. Yes. So chiropractic care, it is your ally. This is that's correct. Well, thank you doctor, for your input, for all the information, for our listeners. Thank you, Jonathan. This is it for today.
Thank you, Orlando. Thank you, Jonah. I'll see you next time.
Until next time, don't forget to catch all our episodes in our channel. Don't forget to subscribe, to share it with your friends, and take care. Until next time.
All right. Take care. Bye now.